Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis Theoji, whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you very much, choir. Praise God. Okay, so let the Slido link go up for questions. I'd like to take questions today. I want to say that will be the real purpose of this meeting. So I'll try to just see how many things I'll be able to share. Then we'll start taking questions for today. So for the past 3 to 4 weeks, all through the month of February, I've been teaching on soul ties and covenants, the truth about sex, relationships, and marriage. So today I'll be touching more on that relationship and marriage a little bit, and I will not focus so much on sex. All through the Sundays, that's what I focused on, but I just want to talk about it a little bit here and there. Can you look at 3 John 2? Let's start from there. 3 John 2. So the link is on the screen, so you can go ahead and just send in questions. Then as the questions come in, please, admin, I would like you to filter the questions so that if there are questions that are exactly the same, we don't need to start struggling with that. So go to the real ones. Okay, we're going to read it together in concert. NKJV, then we can do message NLT also. Can we do this one together? One, two, go. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Give another translation, please. Okay. One, two, go. We're the best of friends, and I pray for good fortune in everything you do and for your good health, that your everyday affairs prosper as well as your soul. Wow, that's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. So I will just do a little bit of diversion. One day, maybe you remind me, I'm going to teach on the qualities of a prosperous soul, what it means when the Bible says that your soul prospers. Or maybe we should just try, let the microphone go around, let's see if somebody can answer. When it says, I wish above all things that I might prosper and gain good health, even as your soul prospers. Even as your soul prospers. NLT's rendering of it, using the word spirit, doesn't render it properly here. The translators use the spirit, that is your spirit, but if you check many other translators, they use soul, so that it talks about the part of man that has to do with your will, your emotions, and your intellect. Are we here together? So when he says, I wish above all things that thou mightest prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers, can somebody try? What do you think it means, as your soul prospers? When you say somebody's soul is prosperous, what does it mean? There will be another day for the full teaching, but I just want to get a little bit of light here and there. Then we can. Anybody wants to try? Anybody wants to try? Okay. Okay, let's do this first, then we'll move to them.
Okay, a prosperous soul is a soul full of light and illumination, and a soul that is thriving well.
A soul that is full of light and illumination. Light and illumination. Okay, that's the same thing. Light, illumination, yes. A soul that is enlightened and thriving, prosperous. True, you're correct.
Yeah, thank you, sir. I think a prosperous soul is a soul that is healthy, both spiritually and mentally. So you're thriving in your spirit and in your emotions. Wholeness, basically.
Wholeness. Okay. Yeah. Good.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Pastor, sir. Prosperity implies to do well.
To do too well.
And then in the aspect of the soul, which is the seat of emotions and will, it means that the person makes sane decisions, the person is sound, balanced emotionally, balanced mentally. He doesn't veer off track in what he's not moved by trends as well.
Yeah. We have all said, well, three answers are very beautiful. Let me just add a little bit to it, left and right. One of the greatest attributes of a prosperous soul is what you call self-authority. Self-authority. Write it down. Self-authority. Or what you call self-governance. Self-authority or self-governance. The ability to govern yourself. The ability to put boundaries and not allow something else determine the course of your life. In other words, your life is not moved by circumstances. You decide. You have the ability. Are we here together? You have the ability to decide the direction of your life. You have the ability to govern yourself. You have authority over your soul. I like the word self-authority. Authority over your soul. You know what it means? Somebody have authority over something. You know what that means? Yes, you have control over something. So when you say somebody is prosperous, part of the attributes, I will share, maybe the day we're going to teach, I will share about five or six attributes of a prosperous soul. This is just number one, self-authority. It means that your life is not determined by circumstances. It is not determined by what other people think about you. It's not them, but your life is not determined by what this person said this about me. So because of that, I am depressed. Hello? What you said doesn't control my life. Do you understand what I'm saying now? I will not allow something external determine the course of my life. It is self-authority. Nobody can make you feel less without taking your permission. It is the access you give to the words that they have thrown that allowed it penetrate. If you decide to bounce back what they have said, it will not gain access. Are we here together? So you need to come to that point where you have self-authority. And that's one of the attributes of it. If you see somebody, you know, when you meet somebody that is prospering in their soul, that's one of the qualities to look out for. Are they able to govern their soul, themselves? Can I determine what happens around my space and not allow circumstances and situations determine it? So you are designed to be in charge of yourself. God has given us that right. That's why human beings are beings of choice. The power to make decisions, the power to decide what comes in, what stays even in your mind. Do you know you have that power? That's why he said casting down all imagination. It didn't say God will help you cast it down. He said you casting down all imagination and every high thing that exalts itself. In other words, I have the ability to cast it down. I control the territory of my soul. I control what happens to my will, my emotions, and my intellect. I control the entry of information and determine what stays, and I determine what I jettison, what I trash. Is it making sense to us? So that's one of the attributes. Self-authority, it means that your thoughts and your intellect, you reason in such a way, you imagine things in such a way, you acquire knowledge in such a way, you process information in such a way that you decide what stays. So somebody comes in here and is a teacher and maybe a false teacher and has said plenty things. A person who has self-authority knows how to take what they want and trash out every other thing. So I determine what comes in. Are you getting what I'm saying here? That's how it works. So I know that. Oh, no. I'm not moved by every wind of doctrine. Why? Because whatever is coming in, I grant access, or I decide to deny it access. So many people, with all the things they have been hearing, learning, somebody just comes from nowhere and says one trash, and they already say, yeah, I said it. Your soul is not prospering. The soul is suffering. It doesn't have the ability to govern itself. That's why something on social media can come in and affect you easily. All the noise everywhere in town has the ability to come in, sit, and then start determining the way you behave. because you lack what we call self-authority. Am I communicating? I know why I'm coming here. We're talking about soul tie. One of the reasons many people get entangled is because they lack self-authority. And that's why I'm deciding to come from that direction today. So let me break it down a little bit. It means the ability to control what you think about, filter out negative thoughts and ideas that are not helpful. Thoughts that are not helpful. And intentionally cultivate wisdom, knowledge, and truth. The ability to intentionally cultivate wisdom, knowledge, and truth. Now listen. Please listen to me carefully. What I'm sharing tonight is very, very, I don't like to say deep because I don't like to get people lost. But it's very, very instructive. But it is deep. Amen. But it's my duty to unravel it. So I'll open it. Amen. Now, if you are going to say, I have knowledge, wisdom, I can discern truth. The reason I'm able to discern truth is because I have a foundation of what truth is. So that if lies or deception comes in, I can use the truth that I have beneath to discern this one and say, no, it can't come here. So if I do not have a foundation of truth and something that is false is coming into my heart, I can easily embrace it, confusing it to be truth. That means I lack discernment, and that is wisdom. The ability to discern right from wrong. Wisdom is discernment. So you have self-authority when you are able to decide what will form the base of truth. The quality of knowledge that you take in. Are you getting what I'm saying today? Is it making any sense to somebody? So if somebody comes to you and says to you that, if you don't marry me, your life will not make sense. If you lack self-authority, you say, oh, it's true, please, just let me marry you, please. But if you have self-authority, you can trace that this is false and you will not get it access. Are we getting what I'm saying now? All those guys that come around town and tell people that they have dollar, they're just coming from somewhere, and there's dollar in the boots. You know all those stories. They have dollar in the boots. So we're going to get somewhere. We're going to change the money. If you are not greedy, how come you are interested in dollar overnight? What did you do? If you have a mindset that money responds to value, you would have asked yourself, what value have I offered to get this money for free? Now that question will determine how you filter everything they are saying, and as they are saying it, you'll be able to discern truth. That no, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. Are you central bank? Truth, just simple things. You're able to discern that. How would this person provide dollar? Paper will turn to dollar. Dollar is supposed to be made from the country where they're producing. How did he live there? What number would the dollar bill have? But when people are greedy, their mind will be blocked. Their soul is not prosperous. So everything that you put in, they will take. And deception will thrive. And they will be duped. Are we here together? Does it make any sense to you? I will tell you why I'm saying all this. And try to. So let's look at it from the three seats of the human soul. The mind, the will, and the emotions. So if we're looking at it from the direction of the will, now let me give an example. I can think that things are pure, lovely, just, of good report. The Bible says, Philippians chapter 4 verse 8, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any praise, think on these things. Are we here together now? Philippians 4 from verse 8, yes. It says, summarizing it up. Okay, anyone. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and anything praiseworthy, he said you should do what? So it means that anything that does not fall in this class is not permitted to stay. Are we here together? But people who lack self-authority allow everything to stay. Your mind is like a garage. If you don't want a downfall parked, you tell it to leave. If you don't want a Ferrari, you tell it to leave. If you don't want any kind, you don't want, you tell it move. Whatever you want, you tell it stay. So you check very well. Whatever things are true, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, all those things that they are feeding you lies with, are they lovely? Is it true? How did you get deceived? Because your soul is not prospering. And one of the things that causes the soul of people not to prosper is because they do not have the right foundation to build the soul. Be not conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When the word of God is the foundation of what you have in your mind, you will not allow certain things to come. Are we here together? Am I communicating? So why you have a lot of people tied up? They have soul ties here and there. The ones we talked about, you know, they believed a lie in a relationship that led them. Somebody tells you that if you don't do it with me, I will not marry you again. What's the big deal, for God's sake? What's the big deal, for God's sake? If God has said not to, and this person says I have to, who do I believe? This person or God? One of the reasons we fall most of the times is because we value men and their confessions more than God. I was teaching those in the counseling training. I was talking about things that had to do with worldview. And I said people have different worldviews. If I'm going to talk to you and really want to have a reasonable discussion with you, I want to know your worldview. If your worldview does not align with mine and I realize that it will be a debate, I will not talk. Why? There are people who like to debate. I don't like to debate. I like to pass knowledge. Debates, in a debate, one person will win, one person will lose. No, I don't like to lose. Pass knowledge. When I pass knowledge, it's simple. You take it or you leave it. But in debates, it's either you win or lose. Are you getting what I'm saying tonight? Those of us, can you hear me clearly? So the mind, I cannot say I am helpless. Yeah? The thought, if the thought to steal comes to your mind, and you steal, is your soul prospering? Why did you steal? Because your soul lacks the capacity to sustain a conviction that says no to stealing. If the thought to fornicate comes, and you say, I don't know what it was, Satan, it just came to my mind, and I did it. Your soul lacks the capacity to hold the truth of God that says flee. That's why you stayed. Your soul is not prospering. I'm breaking that scripture very well. Is it clear now? So when you say my soul prosper, you want to know what it means. So if the thought to kill comes, kill yourself. So I'm having suicidal thoughts. And you kill yourself. The reason is because your soul lacks the capacity to hold truth about its real identity. So somebody sold an idea from nowhere and you bought it and you executed the counsel of the person regardless of how dangerous the consequence will be. Your soul is not prospering. It's weak. But if you have a strong soul, self-authority, as the thought is coming, you are the one saying, where is that thought coming from? No, don't tell me that. What happened? You know, you start questioning it. Why should I kill myself? He said, because they said that you are useless. Would the thought of that person determine the course of my life? Am I really useless? Oh, no, I'm not. He said, you are useless now. Can't you see you failed? Just this exam now, you fail, you cannot pass. No, does the exam determine the quality of my life? Oh, no. You start talking back. At that point, you are casting down all imagination and every high thing that is coming. Your soul is strong. Your soul is powerful. Your soul is engaging in a battle and you are winning. If the thoughts, you 3 days ago, you made up your mind that you're not going to smoke again because pastor said that it's going to be harmful to your liver and all that. You made up your mind. Then the thought comes again. Then you eventually relapse. The reason you relapse was because your soul is not strong enough to hold. So what must you do? You need to gather enough truth that will sustain the conviction that indeed each one I take lowers my chances of living long. therefore I will not take it. When truth and convictions are not formed, we fall for everything. Write it down. When truth and convictions are not formed, when you have not formed the basis, which is truth, then rise to the level of conviction. That means belief in that truth will fall for everything. So let's move to the second place, the will. Decision making and choices. It means you have the power to make deliberate choices based on conviction. That's where I am already. Are we here together now? Rather than impulses, external pressure, and emotions. For instance, I decide my action and my response based on my conviction, not based on how I feel. I decide my action and my response based on my conviction, not how I do what? Feel or external pressure. So I'm with my phone now, and all of a sudden, while I am pressing, just scrolling through my phone, surfing and all that, I realized that a particular stuff just popped up, and it says special dating sites where you can see many whatever. That's porn. Now my conviction not to watch that thing is not based on the fact that I don't feel like watching. I feel like watching too. But why will I not watch? I will not watch because I have a truth established at the base of my heart and a conviction. The truth is this. It has the ability to corrupt my mind and enslave me. Based on that truth that I have discovered, I will not be led by my feelings. I will follow my conviction to obey God, to protect my mind, than to follow how I feel. So I break it down again. All of a sudden, as a young guy, you just looked around and a girl just passed. Kai. Many of us, a few of us would have seen that advert, but I know many of the Gen Z's never saw the advert. Joy Soap. How many of us remember the advert of Joy? If you see the advert of Joy Soap, you must have been somewhere around, you must have crossed 37, 38. Yes, the advert of Joy Soap. Remember that soap? Now, a guy was carrying a box, and while carrying the box, a particular lady was passing. And while the lady was passing, everybody was distracted at the appearance of the lady. Everybody was, is it Lux or Joy? I don't expect you to know. The people at the back, maybe they can answer me. So, while that was happening, a man just opened his box, briefcase. He was just looking at the lady on his briefcase. He was lost. Now, what I'm trying to say is that the reason you are following your erection is determining your direction. It's because you are following your emotion. You are supposed to follow your conviction. Do we understand what I'm saying? Yes. So you get to see that the reason the guy is following, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs that little did he know that at the back of her house are dead men's bones. But he's still going. Why? He's following his emotion. Instead of him to sit, think, process, what will be the consequences? What if I am caught? Is it possible to die? What will happen to my life? Then analyze the whole situation. Then decide. Many times you see people follow their emotions. They did not decide. They are being led by their emotions. I don't know if you get what I'm saying tonight. But are we getting a little bit of what I'm saying? I'm saying this, that this is the foundation of the problems that the soul has, since we're talking about soul ties. So my wife gets me angry. All of a sudden she does something very crazy in the house or no, and I'm like, ah! As soon as she does it, I feel like boom, 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 boom. I feel like slapping her. I feel. It's a feeling. Why? I am frustrated, or I am angry and pissed off. Why did you not slap her? The reason I will not slap her is not because what she did is right. She did wrong, and I actually feel like. But I will not, because I made a commitment that she's my body. I can't slap myself. And God's word says to honor her. So the reason my hand didn't go is not because my hand cannot move. These hands can still move. If a cockroach misbehaves and I take slippers, you will see what will happen. Are you getting what I'm saying here? If a little child plays around and misbehaves and I handle you, you will know what can happen. But because I am reasoning, the Bible says a man that does not think is like a city without walls, uncontrolled. And it says anger resides in the bosom of a fool. And what he's trying to say here is not just the anger, it is talking about the manifestation of anger. Because when you get angry and you do not sin, you have not done anything wrong. The desire to commit fornication is not the problem. It is the act that is the problem. Because if you read James, he says, when a person is drawn away from their lust, it starts from desire. And desire is a natural thing that every human being has. I desire this car. I desire to have this house. I desire to have this woman. I desire to have this. You are still having desire. Withdraw your desire. Say, desire, come back. Desire. You know, just act as if your desire is a dog. Desire, how far? Desire, show. We no go again. It's as simple as that. Am I communicating? Is it making sense to anybody? Because my desire cannot be accomplished there because it does not have a right there. So draw it back. So when we say that a person's soul is prospering or is not prospering, it means that they have the power to make deliberate choices based on conviction rather than impulses, external pressure, or their emotions. So I feel pressure to cheat in the examination hall. I feel pressure to cheat on my partner. I feel pressure, you know, to cut corners, to do something, and I decide not to. Why? Because I am a child of God. It's based on a foundation of truth. So if you don't have any truth at the base controlling your decisions, you will not be able to make the right decisions when trouble comes. So one big question I'll ask us today is that, what's determining your action? Why would you not beat your wife? Why would you not fornicate? Why would you not steal? Why would you not kill? Why would you not? You know, you need to know why. It is the why that determines the X. Yeah, the why determines the exit. X. Are we here together? May God help us in Jesus' name. Yes, so the last one here, then I'll start. Emotions, feelings, and affections. So we've talked about the mind, the will, the intellect, now the emotions. You have the ability to regulate your emotions, respond wisely rather than react impulsively, and ensure emotions serve a purpose rather than dictate your action. We had a ministration we're going for on Saturday, and when I left, I was very prepared for the ministration. I tried to avoid many things. Then while we're going on Saturday, we were in touch with the people we're supposed to reach out to, but the contact person wasn't giving direction well. You know, when somebody's directing you, like you're in a commercial vehicle, it's different from when you are driving. I hope you are aware. Yeah, so now if he gives me the commercial vehicle style, it would have been better. But when you say, just keep coming to where, keep coming, when you just get, just keep coming to where. So I got highly exasperated, and with the avalanche of my fury, I decided to turn. So I got to a point where I was just wondering, does this person understand direction? And we had gotten to the place already, as it were, meaning that we're going to Ikorodu. Agric bus stop, and we have reached Agric bus stop. So we turned, and when we turned, we entered the street we think should have been the street, and called, and the person said, no, that's not the place. Have you seen this? No. Have you seen that? He doesn't even know landmarks, if possible, around that vicinity. You know, so that means I feel somebody who knows landmarks should have been the right person, or just send me a Google location, Abby, and I'll just follow it, because we've tried the place on Google and it wasn't on the map. So while the people with me thought that I was not, probably thought the pastor was not thinking, he's just acting fast. No, I had thought of it. What did I think of? We're supposed to go and turn, and I've seen the traffic, the first traffic, and I've seen the second traffic. The ministration is supposed to start by 6:40. This is 7:10. If I go and turn for another 30 minutes, that will be about 7:40. When will I start preaching? When will I get back home? So I said, move now, let's go home. Even if it is the next street after we go and turn around, it's still far, because we still have to go and turn. If it is on our way like this, it's possible. We can enter, we'll try. Now, my action was not based on the anger. It was based on the decision and the calculation that the traffic is very heavy. Now, if I had gotten something that would outweigh that, maybe I would have. But at the spur of the moment, there was nothing very substantial. Or maybe a call quickly came from that person and said, sir, we don't mind to wait till 9 o'clock, sir. Oh, okay, let's talk. But nothing was coming, nothing. Let's move. Now, why did I say that? I didn't do that because necessarily that I was so angry and I could not control. No. I did it because I had done my own basic calculation. And I've seen that I would just go and, this is Saturday, they will come to church tomorrow, Sunday. Are they going to sleep there? You know, all those thoughts. And where we are going to is far. So my decision was based on that thinking. If I had seen something superior, like I said, I probably would have adjusted. Why? Because I'm a rational human being. But if I say, no matter what they say, no matter, you know, they put like that, no matter what, you see, even if God comes here, you are very irrational. You're not thinking. Are we getting what I'm trying to say here? So, feeling angry is not wrong, but recognizing the cause of your anger and how to respond. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 26 says, be angry but don't sin. All of us in church today, I guess if you are not careful, you will sleep in this kind of vision. This is not how I preach. But I'm saying some things that are supposed to enter. Enter. Is it entering? I'm saying some things that are supposed to enter. I don't want to preach so that you not get it. So, feeling angry is not a problem. Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry but do not sin. When you lash out in anger, you make rash decisions, or you decide based on fear, it means you do not have self-authority. Your soul is not prospering. Feeling sexually attracted is not wrong, but recognizing its cause. Why am I attracted to this lady? Why am I attracted to this person? Could it be the right person? Are there red flags? If there are red flags, am I seeing it? Because usually when people are in love, it is the red of the love they see. They don't see the flag. Both of them are red. Flag, red. Love, red. So you don't blame anybody in love. They saw red. And one red can mean love. The other one, the only shape of flag is square, rectangle. The shape of love is heart. And you know, following your heart matters a lot. So they follow their hearts. But when you follow your heart, wherever it lands you, congratulations. May God help us in the name of Jesus. So, some people have turned situations of grief into a state of depression and suicide. That means a loved one died, and maybe because the loved one died, they lack self-authority. Because of that, the grief caused them to start seeing everything negative about life, to the extent that some people will say, does God exist? If God is there, why this? Why that? But some other person interprets the grief in another way and begins to say, well, God really understands better. Nobody will be here forever. One day somebody will leave. I may not be able to explain, but I have seen that apart from this person, there are many other people living in life and have made different marks. This one should not kill me. I grieve, but I will not allow my grief turn into a negative trend for my life. I will convert that grief, then find hope. That's why you see people who are healthy. Some other people, the same problem happened to two people. He killed this one. This one is still alive, thriving. The soul of this one is not healthy. It's not prospering. It lacks the quality of information to sustain that kind of shock. Do you understand what I'm saying? But this one has prepared. In fact, when people around us start having terrible situations, cancers and all that, we have faith in God. We believe strongly that God heals, and he has healed many. But we also know that if the righteous perish, the Bible says that no man knoweth what God is doing, or lays it in heart, that God is taking them away from the destruction to come. So one person's death should not kill two people. I don't know what I'm saying, but I'm saying something. May God help us in the name of Jesus. And one person's death should not change a person's behavior and say, because this kind of good person died, I cannot do good again in my life. Your soul is not prospering. You thought that the good man died, but God in his interpretation said he might have taken him away from sorrow. So are you superior to God? You have better understanding? That might just be healing for somebody who is still grieving. Receive your healing in the name of Jesus. So, I'm ready for questions. Signs of unhealthy soul ties. Write this one down. I'll just, you see, it's not part of my real tab, so I scribbled these notes left and right. Then we'll take questions tonight. One of the signs of unhealthy soul ties is irrational thinking. Irrational thinking. You know what it means to be irrational in your thinking? Huh? What does it mean? Not processing your thoughts. Imagine a particular lady, a guy comes into her life, and she begins to spend all her money on the guy. She has a hairdressing salon, and each time the guy comes, he will sit outside, they will gist after gisting. She will buy things from him from the money. Maybe she made 5,000. She will spend like 3-5 on the guy and keep 1-5. Then next time the guy comes, the guy now has a need. He's now saying that I need to rent house, and I really need like 300k. Then she has saved like 250k. Then she brings out the 250k, sell one of her dryer head, and pays the rent. And they say, why? Say, I really love you more. You see, you can't do anything for love. It's a degree of madness. Listen, I hope you're aware. It is. Because if you settle down and process it, you will ask, how can somebody? No. If not, is even, how will I sell the source of the income? It can even get worse to the point where the person will say, for love's sake, say, the only thing we can do now is that they are just a generator here. What do you think? And you know those kind of guys, if there is a narcissist or somebody terrible, you say, think by yourself, what do you think? He knows she's not thinking again. So the guy puts it back to her. What do you think? You know I love you. Yes, and you know I love you too. Now that tells you that she has a soul tie with the guy. These are signs. If you want to spot people around you that have soul ties, one of the things they do is they make irrational decisions. They are not thinking again. Their soul has been sold out to something. Is anybody getting what I'm saying? This is very funny, but I'll still say it's part of the whole gist. I went to the farm the other day, and I saw that one of the hen started laying eggs. So I was like, why is this hen? laying eggs. There's no cock in this compound. I said, there's no cock in this compound. What's happening? So one of the girls in the farm said, she always enters this particular cage where the cock, there's a cock, but the cock is caged. And she always, I said, no, how can she enter? I looked everywhere and I saw that it's not possible to enter where the cock is. And she said, she always enter. I now told her, I said, you see, that's how you people will follow man to anywhere. And truth be told, I don't know how that chicken will squeeze itself and enter. After entering, it will soon come out. Wole wode. After that, it will lay egg. It's so bad. It's a soul tie. It's a soul tie. If you see the space, you will know that the high can, it must be a miracle. Maybe it disappeared. Don't you understand? How many of us saw those movies when we were growing up? There's a guy that would use those and disappear. Love. May God help us in Jesus' name. When you hear people say things that no matter how bad it gets, I must stay in this marriage, they have slapped the eye off, half of the ear is gone, the life is expiring, and they say no matter how bad. Now this is not saying if it gets too bad I will leave. It's saying no matter how bad I will stay. It is comfort in dysfunction. It is very terrible. It is a soul tie. Are we here together? Are we getting what I'm saying tonight? Yeah. If you hear people say things like, if we break up, I will never find love again in life. It's a fear-based thinking. It is born out of what? Soul ties. So you see that apart from all the other soul ties I've been talking about, this is a different relationship now. Soul ties. Soul ties. Soul ties. They are real. There's a story of a woman who left her family. She's got married to a, she left, when they left school, she met a particular nice man and got married to the man. They got children. And this is a church. They have a beautiful church family, nice family. Then all of a sudden, three of her friends showed up from the blues. Secondary school friends. They were very close. I don't know how the man separated them, or maybe distance or something. So she met the man. Then all of a sudden, the friends called her. Three of them are not married. She's the only married person. They started telling her, well, what's she doing in the marriage? It's caging you. Can't you see? You have kids. You can't do anything. Blah, 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 blah. And she woke up one day and started inviting the girls to the house. Then the girls invited her out and said, see freedom. See where you are. You are suffering. This is a woman that has gotten serious with church, her husband. They are very focused on the things of God. Then all of a sudden, a senior sister in church noticed it. The husband told her, I said, please talk to my wife. She's hanging out with girls. These ladies, I don't have anything against them, but they are her friends from school. They are not married. She's the married person. They are not even aware that she has a family. And the sole connection they had from secondary school was activated. And as soon as that connection was activated, university rather, activated like that, you can't believe the perfect true life story. This woman left her children, left her husband, left the church, and went to hang out with the girls. And left, divorced the man, wrote paper and said, don't need to go. Whatever the three girls told her, oh no. That's how they lost a wonderful, this is not cock and bull, it's real life story. Soul ties are very dangerous. Irrational interpretation is also a sign that there's a soul tie somewhere. A lady met a man and she's really desperate to get married to the guy. I'm talking relationship more this evening, isn't it? Zana, are we tired? You're not enjoying today? So, in the, what am I saying? Marriage or something? Yeah. She's really desperate to marry the guy. She really likes the, she has already liked the guy. So she believes. You know, I told us one thing in the relationship. I said, some people get into wrong relationship because of the belief that God said. So she believes that God said. Then one day while she was reading her Bible, in the mercy of God, real life story is one. she stumbled on Psalm 127 verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. She's been struggling hard, doing everything to impress the guy, doing everything to fit, doing everything. So the desperation was so high. So in God's mercy, as she was reading, God showed her a scripture. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. If you were the one, how would you interpret that scripture for the relationship? How? Wait, if you were the one, ladies, she has been laboring very hard to marry the guy, doing things, impressing him, doing everything. If the guy says, poo-poo, say, stand up, like, mumu. Then she's reading the Bible. The Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And that was the meditation. So we started meditating. I said, thank you, Jesus. This is a confirmation. This is the promise of God to build the house. I don't understand. Where is it? Where is it coming from? The promise of God to build the house? Where? What happened to the labor in vain? What happened to this person that has been laboring like a fool? You can't believe that interpretation. Do you know how many people interpret scriptures wrongly? For instance, somebody is madly, crazily in love with somebody and they are doing bad things, making mistakes, doing terrible things, and they read the Bible and say, Bible says, love suffereth all things. Love suffereth long. Is interpretation of scripture true or false? But in the wrong context, is a sign of what? Soul tie. Can't see. Am I communicating? When you start seeing people interpreting what you got, they say, no, kelebo sakapide, vranaka gaga. He beats me because he cares for me. That's discipline. So tired. The lady comes back, slaps him, and the guy says, yes, ma'am. Antiwa, mommy wa, soul tie. The story of, let me wrap up with this story so that I can take questions. I can't trust you people in this church. No story again. Let's take the question. There's no soul tie. I don't have soul tie on that matter. So please take the questions. I would have told you a story, but don't worry. Maybe the questions will lead to the story. How many of you have been blessed by the little that I just shared today? Yes. So let's take questions.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you very much, sir. So this person says, I have pain in my lower stomach when I don't release accumulated semen. I know masturbating is bad. What do I do?
Well, these are plenty. What do you call it now? Plenty stories that people usually say, guys, medically, these medical brother. I was a man. I am a man. I don't know where I was then. Somebody can wake up and say, I'm already 40. Well, the truth is that there's a natural way to get semen out. You would need to have a personal discussion with Apostle Paul. Because I remember that Apostle Paul also did not get married. And he did not die. And I know that for the males, it seemed like it is true that you feel pain at lower abdomen or feel a kind of crunch on your testicles. I can't explain for different people how it happens for them, But all I know is that I am a man. I have seen 101 men stayed without having sex until they got married, not 21 or 22 or 23 or 24 or 25 or 26 or 27 or 28 or 29 or 30. I have seen people that married at 35 and they are saying, this is the first time in my life that I will have an encounter with a woman. Are you getting what I'm saying now? If they did not die, all you need to do is every time you feel the pain in your stomach, emi mi mo ese o emi awo woli eyin kukulagbara mi emi mi. I would rather trust God and his word than any symptoms around my body. If he created me and he knows, it's just like a lady saying that I'm having menstrual cramp every time, so they said that if I start having sex, the cramp will reduce. You are deceiving yourself. Let the cramp be cramping. Jesus is the deliverer. The way out is not sex. Many people have thought that that's the way out until they contracted diseases that kill them. I don't know how many people cramps have killed, but they must be very few, but I'm not sure. But what I'm saying is, don't buy the lies outside. Stay. Remember, the Bible talks about the reward for this. There is a reward for it. I don't know how. I don't know when. I don't know how it happens, but if God says something, he will do it. I'm very sure of that one. So I won't go to the aspect of trying to answer scientifically or biologically, maybe medically rather, medical doctor trying to explain something and all that. There might be explanations to different things, but I know that practically speaking, I have seen men, I have seen women stay and they eventually married and their lives did not get worse. It didn't get bad. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Anything happening, acknowledge him and say, God, see this thing, I don't understand what it is. How are you sure that it is that thing that is causing this pain and this semen in the abdomen? How are you sure? Do you know how many people in the ancient, in the days, people that were what do you call it now, monks, do you know the number of monks those days that will stay in the conventry and they will not come out and they will serve God 50, 60, 70, 80, and they will even live longer? Because most of the times fasting can help you live a longer life. When your systems are not overworking, it's giving them the opportunity for longevity also, so they live longer and they do better than somebody is just trying to allow what's happening around town to know. Don't allow that. So that's my answer for you.
Thank you very much, Pastor Sam. So this person says, I have a friend and we both like ourselves and we want to do things God's way. How do we cut communication so we don't, because we don't want to start the relationship yet, we want God?
Well, this thing you are saying, some people have said it, but they are already in the relationship. We don't want to start a relationship. We love ourselves. We have told ourselves. We have been talking to ourselves. We have been dreaming about ourselves. We don't want to start a relationship. So what are you? What do people want to do? Situationship. If somebody says, I love you, and you say, I love you back, is a relationship. Don't deceive yourself. It is called offer and acceptance. If they say, I love you, I say, no, I'm not interested, I'm not ready now, then you have created a barrier. Then if you say you are not ready, don't be giving sign language of readiness. Do you get what I'm saying now? They say, do you mind we go to social place together? Yes. Do you mind we go to social place? Do you mind? Every day, you are minding. So you are showing signs that you are in, but you are claiming to be out. It does not make sense. If you are out, be out. You know why? You will never have the right thinking when you are clustered and veiled by one person in front of you. You will never see any other thing. You will never see another person. If your whole body is single, if your body is single, I'll repeat again now. If your eye is single, your body will be full of light. Are you getting what I'm saying now? But if there is division, you will not have light. The reason you have light in that relationship is because your eye is single. But if your eyes say, I'm not seeing only one person, I'm seeing all the brothers, they are good people, they are nice people, that light of love blossoming will die. I use that scripture in the reverse. I hope you understand. So what you need to do is this. If you have had if for any reason you have had sexual relations before marriage, go and do a comprehensive test. Out of the 26 sicknesses that can be transferred, let's know the one you have. That's the starting point. Then when we know that one biologically, then out of all the emotional baggages that can be transferred, you need to do an emotional scan to know the one they have transferred to you. Then you will now do the spiritual one. That one I had gone. The day I knew it was very hard was the day a member of, I won't mention the name of the church, one of the churches that pray in this Nigeria, the member said to me, say, Pastor, prayer no easy. I said, it's not one of the drive. Let's say it's very easy. Say, no easy to pray for a relationship where no good. No easy. God forbid. And no fee promise any woman if I never. I say, correct. Prayer noise. I say, I agree. If you say prayer noise, it will agree. Say noise. Are we here together? So, what were we saying?
You want to cut communication. So,
then I told you what to do, but sincerely, no jokes. If you find yourself by mistake out sexual sin, do a comprehensive health scan, because some of those things hide, they show up later. They can start causing troubles with your fallopian tubes, your your reproductive organs. Some of these infections and other things can chop off a lot of things and cause problems, apart from some diseases that will not be known in the first 3, 4, 5 years. They show up later, so you need to do a comprehensive scan. That is not a joking thing. I'm saying it and I'm laughing, everybody's laughing. It's not laughing. Some people realize something 5 years later, it was what they did 5 years ago. If they had treated it immediately, they would have cut off that disease. It stayed too long. That's why it ended up like that. So you need to do a medical scan to know what's wrong and know how to start the treatment if there's anything wrong. Number two, the emotional scan cannot be done, but you can do a soul check to know if there are behaviors or attitudes that you're beginning to put up that you are not putting up before. Why am I like this? One of the things that cures these things, why some of us came into church and you started serving God and you did not notice some of these things, it was because of the cleansing of the Word of God. Like I said, when the Word of God begins to cleanse you, many things begin to drop. You just realize that nothing didn't happen. It's not because you escaped. It was the Word of God that cleansed you. Sanctify them by thy word, for thy word is true. So when you embrace the Word of God, it begins to cleanse you from everything. Cleanse you. Filthiness of the flesh, filthiness of the soul, filthiness of the spirit. Baggages. The Word of God is sharp and strong. It cleanses. That's why sometimes the believers don't feel anything. You know, and the unbeliever is there, he's still having some wonderful, terrible nightmares. I told you, for guys, when the money begins to go down, he will switch to something plus. So he has rented the real covenant. And the devil is saying, thank you. This is what I was waiting for. I needed you to come. And he has them. Ladies, emotional baggage and all that. So you need to know that. If you have had sexual relations, that's the first thing. The next thing to do is to separate completely. Why? You want to build a fresh foundation. Listen, they don't repair the foundation of a house. They break it. If there is error in the foundation of the house, you don't repair it. Let's put plaster. Plaster or not plaster it. The only thing to do is to do what? To break it and start building again. So both of you will stay away from each other. Start the relationship with clear boundaries and decisions of what will not happen again, then the foundation will be relayed on Christ. Other foundation can no man lay except that which is laid, Christ. So you lay the foundation of relationship on Christ, following his teachings, following his principles, following the things that he has said in the word. That means you are having a house that is built on the rock. Then the relationship can start thriving. But to say that we just continue like I've told you, you'll be deceiving yourself. When certain things begin to show in a foundation, in a house that is built, other people can build a house to 5-story building. If that house has foundation error, as soon as you do that one floor, put roof. That's the only thing you can do. That's why the only thing you notice, there will be crack. Then maybe when one serious breeze blow, it can fall. But you can be patching the crack and patching the crack, put small plaster, put small cement, carry concrete, hold the side. The only way to escape, go and ask builders. The only way to escape it is to what? Scatter the foundation and rebuild. And the way to scatter foundation and rebuild is to stay away from yourselves, repent of whatever you have done, and start the relationship on the new principles and values of the kingdom of God, and let God help you build it. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it.
Thank you so much, sir. So this person says, how do you convince your partner to wait until after marriage?
You don't need to convince your partner. If your partner cannot wait, come out of the relationship. Why are you convincing somebody to wait? They are supposed to. I said, look at when I started this whole thing. I said decisions have to be based on what? Conviction. People should form their conviction by themselves. Why should you be the preacher? You are the one preaching to the person that you see. You know, you are confused. If the person is not clear about it, is an obvious sign that your values do not align. See, it is the reason many people stayed away from sin before their marriage. Maybe like the way I and my wife did. It's not because one person, it was two people. She wanted it, I also wanted it. If I'm the one that I want the thing and she does not want it, is it that I force my way and eventually rape the person, or I take her out? Well, I'm not benefiting anything in this relationship. You can go. Because after all, the first one she was coming in from, that was the problem. You say, you can go. You say, bye-bye. I say, okay. And those of you that are able to say goodbye to a relationship, to embrace the values of Christ, if you are not rewarded in this life, know that it's no God you are serving. Apart from character errors of people, build your character. Your character can scatter anything, but have a good character. But you see, if you stay, if somebody does that and you say no and you stand for God, if you are not rewarded in this life, it's hard not to be rewarded in one way or the other. You know, the way God rewards us, we don't know all the reward. Sometimes we just see this, this one is a reward. Sometimes a man in your life is a reward. A woman in your life is a reward. A kind of child can be a reward. A kind of experience in marriage can be a reward. In fact, your experience in marriage can be a big reward to watch out for. What kind of experience? But I'm sure that God will always reward those who do the right thing, no matter how hard the devil tries. Many young men that have kept themselves like that, and they are focused and they are building, I know many of them that have spoken of their reward. There is a sense of joy. There is a kind of trust that an ordinary relationship does not have that they have. That's a reward too. Next question, please. Very have awesome. I answered it at all?
Yes, sir.
Don't try to convince the person. Yes, let the person find their conviction by themselves. You are not in the ministry of convincing somebody who has not made up their mind. Yes. That is part of what you should look out for, to decide whether to say yes or no. Before you say yes, you should have stated all those things. That's why this one you're asking me that you love me. Well, what's your stand on this? What's your stand on this? Those in Ikorodu, when I went to preach to them, I said something and I know it shook them very well. Yes, is it true? A healthy relationship. See, if it is a healthy relationship that you are having, and both of you come together and you want to start the relationship, one of the real things you should agree on, I told them about 9 agreements. One of the real things you should agree on is that the day I feel like God is not in this relationship again, you will let me go freely without trying to force me or blackmail me. Say yes. You say, the day I feel like I'm not convinced that this thing will work again, you will let me go freely without trying to coerce me, force me, pressure me. And you say, yes, I agree. You know why? It shows both of you have a very healthy self-esteem. Any relationship where one person is at the mercy of the other person, go and check later in the future. Whoever was at the mercy will be the bully of the relationship, and you will be the slave of the relationship. It's only a matter of time. I speak from experience of people that we have gist with over. You hear, and I knew. I say, you have to bear it. It's your cross. So there must be that agreement that the day you are no longer comfortable with this relationship and it looks like you are not sure God is saying it, and we as men of God, I will leave it. Why? Because conviction cannot be on one person. Can two work together except they, he didn't say except one agree, they agree. They have to do what? Agree.
Very good, sir. Thank you so much, sir. Yes. Now this person says, I am with a girl who constantly disrespects me. She says it is as if it is because I do not deserve to be respected because of all my past mistakes that I've repented from. What should I do?
Leave her alone. She does not deserve you. Now, let me, that is the story I wanted to share with you people. Irrational past. I wanted to share the story of soul ties and irrational past. So a particular lady finds herself in a relationship with a guy. Then in the course of that relationship, the guy has time where he's working overtime in the office and he's really busy with his work. So he lets her know that, see, work is very difficult, it's so tight, and I have to work overtime. Then the lady says, oh, okay, no problem, go ahead and do that. Then eventually, somewhere along the line, she realized that the guy was not working overtime, he was cheating on her. He was not working overtime, he was cheating on her. So when she realized, he was working overtime actually. Okay. So when she realized that, she got angry about the relationship, she got bitter, they had a divorce. Then she prayed sincerely as a Christian lady, prayed and asked God for another person. And another nice gentleman comes her way. This gentleman now has a job and has a genuine overtime. So really, the nature of his work will allow him work extra, extra. So whenever he comes back, the lady comes to the door and says, don't tell me that. How can I be sure? I can't believe this. Then she will start saying, I know where I'm coming from. Man that has a clean heart started having a lot of worries in his mind. Why don't you trust me? It's not I don't trust you, but I can't trust men. The experience of her past is now playing in this present relationship. Those, some of you saw my post yesterday. I was studying and preparing. Anytime you check my status and you see my one of my preparation room, I always have plenty energy to dish out wisdom. Don't let your past hold you. Those who know your past, they might be the greatest enemies of your future. Stay away from them. Shield your heart from them, because they might use the memories of your past to judge you in the future. And that's the reason why we as pastors, we do a lot of work. It's hard work. Because sometimes you know a lot of things, but you try not to allow the things to determine your judgment, because you are not even God. So if God has forgiven a person, I must be able to say, okay, rationally, this and this, but it will not stop the fact that if God has greater plans for the person, I should not be the obstacle. I should not be the hindrance. There are many people in the Bible that made mistakes and God helped them. David is a good example. This brother David we are talking about, the story of his life was not as perfect as, but eventually God decided to do something good with him. So anybody that is judging you with your past and attacking you with your past, when you have repented and you are behaving very well and acting very well, they have a soul tied to their old relationship. Not to the person, no. They're so tied to a person, they're so tied to circumstance and situation. That's why I didn't tell you. They're so tied to people, they're so tied to events.
and things that have happened in the past. So the soul of that woman is still tied to that event. So she's now attacking this good man. The good man got frustrated and she had a second divorce. That's why I said that the reason why people who have had one divorce most likely might have two and three is because the problem is not the divorce, it's the person. If the person has not changed and the person is not fixed, there will be another divorce. So anybody that is still judging you based on your past mistakes, they don't believe in who you are in the future, especially if you are not showing negative signs and you have changed and you are really doing the right thing. You might need to leave that person. They will judge you wrongly. I counseled the couple, they're about to get married, and I asked who will be holding the money. And the lady said, me. The man said, no, me. So I said, wait, what? Why have you not talked about money and who will be handling money and everything? She said, no, I know him now. I said, have you married him before? No, he was married before. And he has shared with her that part of the things that caused the challenge marriage was finances and money issues. So she's using that to judge him. So I sat them down. I said, let's start afresh. Cancel the old memory as if this is a brand new human being that does not have that past. Oga, are you sure you have repented from that past? He said, he has repented that. He has learned his lessons. And why are you holding? By the grace of God, they are still married now. I want to believe that that's not a problem anymore. You know, because she wanted to hold on to his past relationship. That the mistake of his past is what he's carrying over. Whereas he has done the carryover course. He has written the course and he has passed. How can you tell me to go and carry over a course that I have passed again? Is anybody get what I'm saying? So that's it. That's
thank course. You so much, sir.
You're welcome.
Sir, is it possible to have a soul tie with your pastor? Like you just believe your life is connected to him?
Yes. I would have talked about that. There is a soul tie that pastors have with members that is very dangerous. And that's why you see sometimes some pastors do not know how to release people when it is time for them to be released. There are sometimes people have served and probably believe that God is calling them to something else. It takes a person who has a healthy soul to release. And know that severance sometimes is not a total cutoff. It might be a branch that God is pushing out to be pruned elsewhere. Many pastors have soul tie with members, and that's why their ministries don't grow. The idea is to tie people down permanently, not even with those that are leaving the church. Sometimes the soul tie is not wanting people to fulfill their dream to the fullest. The fear that if they do it, they will be too big and you will not be able to control them again is a soul tie. It's a kind of soul tie. The members have soul tie with their pastors to the extent that some people believe. There's a story of a man who led all the members of his church to drink poison. Is it 1986 or 1985 or 1987? I can't remember. There's a popular story. I've forgotten the man's name again, but if you check online, you might be able to see him. He came to church and he had so much sold himself. Pastors, we are not called to sell ourselves. We are called to sell Christ. The message is Jesus. Any pastor that is selling himself is dangerous. Now, to love your pastor is beautiful, and you're supposed to. To honor your pastor is very beautiful, and you're supposed to. But like I just taught you, self-authority. You must be able to make decisions that are healthy, and the person is not feeling threatened that they will lose you. What I'm teaching is difficult. Not every pastor can say it. It takes somebody who has already killed his Isaac. For instance, from time to time, I kill my Isaac. You don't understand what I'm saying. Abraham, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. Now, as long as you have Isaacs in your ministry that are alive, kill them before God asks for them. Kill them before God asks for them. So the Bible says Abraham took Isaac. Why? He believed that if he killed Isaac physically, God is able to raise him up. In other words, Abraham already killed Isaac before God demanded for Isaac. By faith, he killed Isaac. Meaning that before anybody comes to knock my door and say, Pastor, I'm going, I killed you already. So the day you're coming,
but I have killed you. You don't understand. You don't, many of you don't understand what I'm saying. I heard the message one day. I sat down and I prayed and I said, God, kill all my Isaac. Kill all my Isaac. It's a dangerous and difficult decision. You know what that means? What that means is this. Did Abraham eventually kill Isaac? No. If I put my trust so much in Tinu, and she's the key singer in this church, the day Tinu has a legitimate reason to travel somewhere to fulfill her destiny, I can find practical scriptural excuses to frustrate her, and she will not go. And I will do it with all my conviction. I will show her from the Bible, thou shalt not be separate from a man of God that God has ordained to your life. That I will show her. And by the time I finish showing everything, in her mind, she said, oh, thank you, sir. I really appreciate this advice, sir. And she will not know what to do. You can derail a person completely from God's purpose. Inasmuch as God calls people into our lives and plants them in our lives because he has seen their life and their purpose. What if my release of Tinu, in her heart, she has made up her mind that I'm very convinced that this is my father, and without telling me, I will be the first person to set up this same movement there abroad. I would have killed that movement to keep her here. Do you understand what I'm saying now? So she can go anywhere, and when she's gone, she still knows in her heart that the connection I have with that person is a spiritual connection, because fatherhood can be is a spiritual connection. Spiritual fatherhood is a spiritual connection. It's not just an ordinary choice. The way of life moves you, and God plans you. Do you understand what I'm saying now? So it's a connection. But because many pastors don't know how to sever relationships, they stay too long, they are bitter, they are angry. Then you have people who have soul ties. They are in some churches where they are dying, but they cannot go anywhere because there is a soul tie. And the pastor tells them, if you go, you will not prosper there. You will suffer. Come and see so-so-so person that went. See their life. They are useless. So-so-so person that went. See their destiny. They are not useful. Brothers and sisters, those are soul ties. They are soul ties. I would have taught a series on church soul ties. But anyway, we're talking about it now. Yes. So people, as we are now, I love everybody. I love people with all my heart. I love them with strong convictions. But I have prayed in my heart ahead of time, prepared that peradventure God needs Isaac. Oh Lord, you can have Isaac. May I not keep Isaac where you need Isaac. Help me. It is difficult, but help me. Because truly, nobody likes to let go of Isaac. And some people will withhold Isaac. And when they withhold Isaac, guess what they have lost? They lost Israel. They lost Israel. When you withhold Isaac, you lose Israel. Because inside of Isaac lies Jacob, Israel. You get what I'm saying? Thank you very much. So we're going to close today. Thank you. I want to believe that we have learned a lot of things in church today. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's rise and give it to God. Let's rise and appreciate him. Can we just begin to give God thanks? Can we begin to bless the name of the Lord? Can we begin to honor him this evening and say, thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. For your mercies never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love you, Lord. You have led me through the fire, my God. You were close like no other. I've known you as a father.
I've known you as a friend. I am in the goodness of God. All my life, you have been so. With every breath that I am in, I will sing.
Up your voice and give God thanks tonight for the revelation of His word, for light. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit of the living God. We are grateful. Thank you, Jesus. Rabba zemene kosai go barateli barustash veli ande ruene koskapai da ruana kozuzu bregazande le boskapai. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, I pray for your sons and daughters tonight. Our hearts are open to receive your word, and we have received. Lord, let the words that we have received bear fruit in our lives in the name of Jesus. I declare everyone that has an ungodly soul tie of all sorts, soul tie with friends, soul tie with parents, negative and ungodly, soul tie with authority, negative and ungodly, Lord, I ask for the kind of healthy soul ties of love, of genuine loyalty, of sincerity, genuine followership in our midst in the name of Jesus. The soul tie that is of God, that brings righteousness, peace, and joy, we receive and we live in that connection as brothers and sisters in the name of Jesus. But every ungodly soul tie that leads to bondage, fear, torment, we break in the name of Jesus. And we declare that as a family, we live healthy with the bond of the Spirit. We are knitted one to another according to God's plan. We are woven together in God's own plan. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. Lord, I pray if there's anyone in service who has not made a decision for you, let the heart of that person begin to right now prick them, show them, open their eyes to see and to know the need for a Savior. If you are here today, you have not accepted Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior, would you want to raise your hand so that I can pray with you? Raise it confidently and say these words after me. Lord Jesus, today I come to you just the way I am. I believe in my heart that you died for me. I confess today that you are my Lord and my personal Savior. Have mercy on me, Jesus. I receive forgiveness of sin made available by your blood, and I declare that I am cleansed. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of these life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center and visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.